The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind and merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. I can't do everything, but I can do something. That which I can do, I ought to do, and that which I ought to do by the grace of God, I will do. This was a mantra used often by Lou Holtz, the legendary football coach at Notre Dame. He would start off the years by teaching this to the football players. Can't do everything, but I can do something. That which I can do, I ought to do, and that which I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. And I think as a football coach, he wanted his players not to focus on getting to the end of the season or maybe trying to win a championship or winning a particular game. He didn't even want them to compare themselves to what other people were doing, whether that was the juniors and seniors are the people ahead of them in the depth chart, or even the other teams around the country. Instead, he simply wanted them to focus on what they could do, what they could do right now, here, today, to become the best football team that they could be, that individually they could be the best football players, but also together that they could become a team. I think that's a good and helpful mantra just in life in general, but I also think it's similar to what Jesus is doing in today's gospel. That we hear Jesus say, love your enemies and pray for those who hate you, persecute you. And we have heard it before. We know that this is one of Jesus' teaching. And I think we often just think about how difficult that is. We think about people that we struggle to forgive or that we always encounter either in our families or in work or in other places. It just seemed to drive us a little bit crazy. That just seemed to frustrate us no matter what they do. And we think, Jesus, how is it that you're telling me that I'm supposed to love and care for this person? Rather than focusing on the end, on trying to do everything, I think originally Jesus was encouraging his disciples just to do what they could, to see that there was something here today that they could do to love like God loves, and that they don't have to do everything perfectly right now, but simply to see what they can do today and to do that, to at least start to love those who are opposed to us, Because that's how God, our Father, loves. He doesn't just give gifts to those that can return something to them. He doesn't just give us things with the condition that we do something in return for him. Instead, he is kind and merciful, kind and generous to the grateful and the wicked, just like he is to the saints and those that follow him. So I love that the church pairs this gospel reading with our first reading. When Saul is chasing King David, not yet King David, but he's chasing David around in the desert. At this point, David has been selected by God and appointed to become the new king, even as Saul is still king. God basically said, Saul, you tried hard, you did okay, but I need to replace you. And Saul, as I think most kings would react, did not appreciate that very much. And so he can't chase God around, so he instead chooses to chase David around. That he brings basically an army with him, Abner and his 3,000 men, to chase David and Abishai around in the desert. And we don't have this written down exactly in the scriptures, but I don't think they were just going to have a little picnic and have a little conversation with David. I think they were intending to do harm, maybe even just to kill David so that Saul could continue to be king. That if anybody had the right to do as Abishai suggests, just thrust the spear into Saul and just kill him in that moment. I think even in self-defense, you could say that David had a reason to do that. But David, in this moment, when it seems like Saul is delivered into his grasp, decides not to do that. He doesn't say he's not going to do it because, well, maybe Saul will stop chasing me around in the desert. He doesn't say he's going to not do it because Saul is actually really a nice guy deep down inside, that he understands why he's chasing him around the desert. Instead, David simply sees the goodness that is in Saul. Not that everything that Saul's doing is good or holy, but that he is still the Lord's anointed. Truly the one that was consecrated to be the king, the ruler of Israel. So because of that goodness in Saul, he will not do any harm to him. So he takes the spear with him. He wants to send a message to Saul. He wants to let him know that he could have done something to him, and he chooses not to. But this doesn't come with any conditions. This is actually him loving as God loves. That in that moment, he again could be justified in doing harm to Saul. He maybe even would want to do it because it would maybe change Saul's choices. Maybe make Saul realize that David isn't that much of a threat. But that's not what happens. For the rest of the story, Saul doesn't change his mind and say, oh, don't worry, David, just let me live out a few more days as king and then you can take over. He actually does the opposite. He actually comes and continues to pursue David through the desert, continuing to make him live life on the run for months. And yet David is never frustrated or upset about that. I think that's very telling in this story, that it wasn't just a kind and nice thing that David did in this moment for Saul, the king of Israel. But he did it without any condition or reservation. And he said, even if Saul doesn't return this kindness to me, I will still love him and recognize the goodness in him. But it doesn't matter if he does the return to me or not. But there's something right now I can do that is to love like God loves. Love generously even if Saul won't do the same for me. I can't do everything. I can't fix this situation, but I can do something. So that which I can do, I will do with the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what this challenging teaching from Jesus is meant to help us to do. Is that he does want us eventually to be able to love perfectly, to love even our enemies and those who hate us. Far too often, I think we try to jump to doing everything instead of simply saying, God, where can I start today? Who are people that I can love regardless of how they're going to treat me? Regardless of if they're going to return that love and that kindness or if they're going to take advantage of it. Maybe if they're going to misuse it. Maybe if they're even still going to oppose me like Saul did with David. My job isn't to worry about how they'll respond. My job isn't about fixing them or making sure that they become a follower of Jesus. My job is simply to be like Christ, to find ways to choose to love others, to recognize the goodness in them, even if they're not on our side, even if they're not helping us and supporting us. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for that divine grace today. Let us pray that we can see that, yes, there are those that are opposed to us that seem to hate us or to be our enemies. Know that it doesn't mean we have to be best friends with them or to go hang out with them always. But we do want to become like God our Father, to recognize the goodness that's still present in them, that made in the image and likeness of God, they're worthy of our love and our help, and to find that we can start to become like God little by little. So we may not be able to perfectly love our enemies right now, but I do think there is somewhere that we can start. We can't do everything, but we can do something today to love like God does. So that which we can do to love others without condition, we ought to do. And what we ought to do to love like God our Father, we will do by the grace of God our Father.